Welcome to the Scoop Equine Nutrition Podcast. I am your host, Annie Emery. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is episode 3, all about starch. So what exactly is a low starch feed anyways? Why does one company call a feed that is 9% low starch and another company calls a feed that is 15% low starch? I've also seen companies call 17% high starch. Is 17% high starch? No, not exactly. How are we supposed to make sense of this? Is 5 pounds of a low starch feed really safe? Maybe, maybe not. I'll get into why in a minute. How on earth are we supposed to understand this and move forward? What's the difference between WSC and ESC on the labels? What one do we use? I will break down everything for you today. We are separating fact from fiction and figuring out what to feed your horse and why. First of all, I'm an independent and certified equine nutrition professional. I'm also a scientist with 20 years of research experience. This recording contains my views and opinions only. I am not affiliated with any product, company, or group. I do not develop feeds or supplements. I do not prefer a particular brand. I see what's performing well and tell you the honest truth. I appreciate all brands. I don't get any kickbacks. I don't promote certain supplements or brands. And I don't consult for any company. There's a lot to unpack here. This could easily be a 3-hour teaching episode, but I hope today to hit the highlights and teach more on this in the future. This is not intended to be veterinary or medical advice. This is not a diet balancing program, and please use your own judgment with anything presented here. Please work with a nutrition professional for your specific needs for your horse. This topic keeps coming up. People are very confused, and rightly so. It comes up in both my client education diet balancing sessions and also in my Facebook group. So my Facebook group has 18,500 members, so it's not a small number of people being confused. This needs to be clarified. One of the main points I want to make today is that companies do not have a standard definition for what is low starch and what is high starch. There is no industry standard, there's no legal requirement, there's no agreed upon definition, so they don't have to agree with each other. There is no standard. Now, should there be a standard? Probably, possibly, but at this point, there's not. And I believe that companies are slightly taking advantage of this flexibility and using emotion and fear of what is, oh my gosh, high starch, to drive sales. Oh, we are not high starch like the other companies. So some people think 17% NSCs are high starch, which is not accurate. That is considered moderate starch by the definition that I use. We'll get to more about that in a minute. So the take-home message today is that we can safely use products from various companies that have a wide range of tools. We do not have to limit ourselves. This includes horses with ulcers, metabolic conditions, and muscle myopathies. The most important thing to understand is that context is key. We have a framework for talking about starch. As professionals, we know exactly how many grams your horse is eating, how many they should be eating, what's the point that's a dangerous level, etc. I firmly believe that owners are prematurely removing what would otherwise be considered good products, good safe products, from their horse's repertoire because of misinformation. So let's talk about this. People get so scared when they have a metabolic horse. They think they must immediately remove all concentrates and put them on a vitamin mineral product. The main point I'm trying to make is there's a fear of using commercial products and grains for metabolic horses. So there's a balance here. As professionals, we know what the right product is for your horse. We need to understand that every horse has individual needs. I believe in giving people tools to make educated and informed decisions. I have had clients on all kinds of products with varying types of health issues, and I have personally resolved insulin resistant issues with clients on commercial feeds, not vitamin mineral products, but commercial feeds. I have clients building nice top lines while on starch restricted diets. A lot of this is understanding options. The basics of nutrition have stayed the same, but the types of feeds have expanded and continue to expand every week. We have many new forage products coming on the market, and I think this is amazing. We do not have to go with old school sweet feed. We do not have to do corn and oat based products. This is all very positive. There are many ways to do a diet, but not all of them are good. And if you've been in the horse industry long enough, you'll see many references to, oh my gosh, don't feed high starch. Don't feed grain. Your horse is going to die. They're going to colic. They're going to have ulcers. What is going on? What is grain? What is high starch? Everyone is freaking out. So let's start with the classifications. What are the numbers telling us? This is how I've been trained. This is not a formal definition, but this is what a lot of professionals use. Some may have other opinions. This is my framework for presenting it. High starch is anything over 30% non-starchy carbohydrates. I have made a classification called moderate high starch that is 20 to 30%. Moderate starch is 11 to 20%. Low starch is 10% or under. Ultra low starch is 6% or under. So what is considered a high starch feed? This is considered your classic sweet feed. This would be a corn and oat-based product. The ingredient list will inform if a product is high or low starch feeds. Please cross-check with the website, the company, the package directions, etc. And remember, companies are not legally required to put non-structural carbohydrates in the guaranteed analysis. So please always verify the non-structural carbohydrates of your feed. And I have seen companies say, this is a low sugar product. They use the word sugar. So we know that the non-structural carbohydrate equation includes sugar and starch. So when they're saying low sugar, they're trying to make it sound like it's a low structural carbohydrate feed. That may or may not be true. So remember, non-structural carbohydrates are ESC plus sugar or WSC plus sugar. So be very careful that you understand the context. So when we talk about non-structural carbohydrates, what exactly are they? Where are they digested in the horse? So this is an essential thing to understand. Non-structural carbohydrates, NSCs, are starches and sugars that are digested by enzymes and absorbed in the small intestine. So the small intestine is in the digestive tract after the stomach, but before the hindgut. Fiber is a structural carbohydrate that is fermented by microorganisms in the cecum. The cecum is where the microbiome of the horse is. This is what's digesting the hay and grasses that your horse eats. So a critical difference is that NSCs are digested in the small intestine by enzymes. Fiber and hay and grass are fermented in the cecum. And you've probably heard the terms ESC and WSC. So what exactly are they? We do see them on hay analysis. We see them on product sheets and labels. So again, this is a quick overview. There's a lot of discussion about this. Not everyone agrees. But we do know for sure that ESCs are ethanol-soluble carbohydrates. WSCs are water-soluble carbohydrates. Ethanol-soluble carbohydrates are simple sugars that have a direct impact on blood glucose levels. In contrast, water-soluble carbohydrates are simple sugars and fructans. ESC is a more accurate measure of the rise of insulin because it more accurately reflects that simple sugars break down into glucose. And again, this is a big topic, so not everyone agrees on what calculations we should use for NSCs. So some people use WSC, some use ESC. I've adopted the philosophy that I use ESC plus sugar for concentrates and WSC plus sugar for hay and grasses. Is there a point where starch can be too low in the diet? Absolutely yes. Remember, starch is not the enemy. Starch is needed for normal biological processes for good health. When would a diet potentially be starch deficient? Usually the horse will consume hay and pasture and some form of concentrate. So especially if the horse is on a low starch feed and the hay is not good quality, I have seen starch deficiencies in horses and they don't look very good. So even when they're metabolic, we do need to bring the starch up to what is considered kind of a baseline level for good health. My other take-home message for today is that starch is not the enemy. It's how we use starch and how we understand starch that is important. And starch gives a quick burst of energy. Some sports, such as barrel racing, want a quick burst of energy. So a barrel racing horse, for example, may benefit from a moderately high NSC fed at a safe level. So again, the job determines what fuel do we want. There's a difference between a barrel racer, an endurance horse, a jumper, and a trail horse. The horse needs the right kind of fuel for the job. Does it need the cooler burning energy from fats, or does it need the quicker burst of glycogen? Another area that I see a lot of myth and legend online is the fact that young horses are being put on super low starch restricted diets. That's a bad idea. Please do not put a young horse on a starch limiting diet. It will not be healthy for them. Young horses need a moderate amount of starch. I consider a young horse any horse that is under the age of 2. Conversely, I have personally witnessed problems with clients who come to me with young horses on high starch diets, and the horses have tendon and bone problems. Too much starch can be very detrimental. So we put the horse on a proper diet, and luckily, the tendon problems were reversed. So you need to stay in the sweet spot for young horses with starch. It's in this moderate range. Let's talk about what happens when a horse receives too much starch. This could come in the form of a concentrate, such as a corn and oat-based feed. Potentially, they break into the feed room, or they have access to grass that is very high in starch. Generally, grass is a big concern, so always use care with every horse acclimating them to grass. So what would happen if a horse receives a high NSC meal? So as I mentioned before, starch is digested in the horse's small intestine, which is after the stomach, before the cecum. Enzymes digest starch in the small intestine. They pass it into the horse's bloodstream, where it's processed normally. So if there's an overload of starch and the enzymes cannot adequately digest it, well, some get swept down the river into the cecum of the horse. Starch is not supposed to be there. So the microbes don't like this. They produce lactic acid, and they basically get sick. This can cause all kinds of problems. The pH drops. So what happens when the pH becomes acidic in the hindgut? This can cause leaky gut. This can cause colic. This is a predictor of laminitis. All kinds of things. The bugs are very unhappy, and the whole horse can be affected. This is called hindgut acidosis. It can have anywhere from mild to severe symptoms. This is considered rare. I would consider it rare, but a high starch meal will tip this off. So thank God we have forage-based products that generally are not in this category. The problem comes in when you have a metabolic horse with diagnosed insulin issues. It takes less starch to tip this off. That's why even when you're using products in the moderate category, depending on your meal size, and if you have a small horse, you could potentially hit this. So care is needed, and that's why I think all horses with metabolic issues should consult with myself or a colleague to get this dialed in. This is something we know the numbers. There is no magic. I can help you design a diet that keeps you in the safe level while still giving the horse the full nutrition. So now let's talk about this moderate category of NSCs. What feeds would fall into this 11 to 20% range? Actually, most good quality feeds that are forage-based will be in this category. This is where you'll find your typical ration balancers, senior feeds, complete feeds, performance feeds. Definitely cross-check, but in general, this is where you'll find your beet pulp-based feeds, your alfalfa-based feeds, etc. Generally, your higher fat feeds. What kind of horse would best be served for this kind of product? I would say most of them. This will generally be safe for most horses that do not have metabolic syndrome or Cushing's, muscle myopathies, where you'd want a truly low starch diet. So generally, things under 20% are moderate starch and very safe. And remember, if you have a horse that's working at a high level, you might want a little starch in the diet. It is performing normal processes. And remember that alfalfa and beet pulp are two of our lowest glycemic ingredients. This is very desirable. when would you want to consider a starch-limiting diet? As I said, metabolic horse, myopathies, Cushing's. So in this case, dropping the starch to 10% or under would be very wise. And remember, pasture grass is one of the main contributors of NSCs in the diet, contains fructans, and the starch content of grasses can actually be quite high. So please, please, please be careful with acclimating horses to grass properly and potentially using a dry lot if necessary and potentially a muzzle, but be aware that a muzzle will not be as safe as the dry lot. How much does a horse really consume with a muzzle? Hard to say. It's not going to be as safe as a dry lot. So just keep that in mind and work with your veterinarian and care team to make that decision for your horse. Now we have the category with ultra low starch diets. That's 6% or under. So generally, these are your beet pulp, your alfalfa pellets, basically a lower fat product. There are more and more products that fall into this category. They can be appropriate for many horses, and it's great to have all of these options. What would we consider? We want to look at your horse's workload, life stage, body condition, and goals. And what else are they eating? Are they eating good quality hay and grass, etc.? So if a horse did not have great hay, would you really want them on a super low starch diet? Maybe, maybe not. We also want to make sure the starch doesn't fall too low. This can cause them to look kind of weedy. Their top lines aren't great. You can start to see ribs. So although weight is generally a function of calories, the starch is definitely playing a role in that as well. All of the nutrition has to be balanced for the horse. So that's why we do nutrition as a whole in my programs. The big, 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 big thing people need to remember about the conversation about starch is the percentage on the label is only the starting point of the conversation. Why do we care about the percent? Because the percent informs how many grams of starch are sitting in the bucket that the horse is eating. The grams per meal is what we as professionals really, really care about. We know how many grams will tip the horse into high and get acidosis, and we know how many grams the horse should be eating, and also potentially what's too low. It's the grams of starch in the bucket that I care about. This means that the meal size, the horse's size, and the percent NSCs are all playing together. To give you an example, I would rather have a horse, a metabolic horse, receive 1 pound of a, quote, higher NSC product, let's just say 16%, versus 5 pounds of a, quote, lower starch product. Because when we add up all the grams of starch the horse is consuming, the, quote, unquote, higher one on the label is actually delivering a lower grams of starch to the horse. So we must be cautious here, and we want to understand how much the horse eats. So how much starch can a horse tolerate? That's a great question. So like I said, there are formulas we do as professionals. So a 900-pound horse is not going to be able to tolerate as much starch per meal as a 1,300-pound horse. So, and again, as I said, the other big problem is when a horse is diagnosed with metabolic issues, the threshold of allowable starch drops. Hindgut acidosis is triggered with fewer grams of starch per meal. So it does not take as much starch to trigger hindgut acidosis in a metabolic horse as if the horse did not have metabolic disease. So please test your horses with your veterinarian as they're aging. You can do blood work and understand if they have insulin issues. You can look at glucose, leptin, ACTH, etc., and keep your horse at a healthy weight. Those two things will go a long way to helping you be proactive and engaged as owners. Our horses are indeed better off now because we have these low and moderate starch options that are beet pulp based, fiber based, alfalfa based. I have seen exciting results firsthand, and there are many ways to use these products together to get the horse to maintain a healthy body condition and feed diets that are appropriate for a wide variety of health issues. To summarize today, we've learned the difference between WSC and ESCs. We've talked about hindgut acidosis, the health problems it causes, and how we evaluate pasture. We've talked about the different classifications of starch and what kind of horse may benefit from what kind of starch and fuel. And again, to recap, high starch is 30% or more NSCs. Moderate high is 20 to 30%. Moderate is 11 to 20. Low is under 10. and ultra-low is 6% or under. So again, this is a general overview. Please get in touch with me if you have any specific questions. The industry has no standard terms for high and low starch. I am offering my suggestions on what I use. So again, a 15% product is generally tolerated by a wide variety of horses. It's not considered a grain. However, we also know that 15-16% is not considered low starch. So if you have a metabolic horse, you might want to be a little careful. So education is critical, and that's why I put so much effort into this podcast today. And as a nutrition professional, we know the numbers, we know what your horse can tolerate, we know what feed's going to get you there and stay in the sweet spot. We want to avoid high and get acidosis, but we also want to provide your horse enough nutrition. Starch is not scary. Starch is needed for energy, but we have to deal with it appropriately. If it's done incorrectly, it can cause some severe health issues for your horse. Again, my name is Annie Emery. Thank you for joining me today. I own and operate Revolution Equine Nutrition. I am based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I see clients virtually in the USA and Canada for nutrition consultation and diet balancing programs. Podcast episode is copyright 2024, Revolution Equine Nutrition, and may not be used in any written form or spoken form without my permission. You can find my nutrition group on Facebook. We currently have 18,500 people. It's called the Nutrition Feed Supplement Science Education and Discussion Group. My website is revolutionequinenutrition.com. So thank you for joining me today. Look for more episodes coming soon.